Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, if you took the time to look at the various hymns that we are singing today, you might have noticed that our closing hymn is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. It's a very famous hymn that's sung and cherished by Christians throughout the world. But why was that hymn written? The hymn was written by a man named Thomas Dorsey. And at the time in his life, his first wife died while giving birth to his son. 2 days later, that son also died. There was nothing that could comfort him except for the fact that he went to the Lord and he simply said, Lord, take me by the hand and lead me on my life's way. And as we suffer as well, we do the same thing. We turn to the Lord and ask him to help us. And here we see one of the greatest examples of someone doing that. Job was a believer who suffered greatly. But why was he suffering? What did he go through? What was making him say these words? Well, before Job was suffering, the Lord had greatly blessed Job. Scripture says that Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Job was incredibly wealthy, for he had thousands upon thousands of animals in his cattle and herds. Job was blessed with a wife and 10 children. And the greatest blessing that Job had was the faith that God had given to him and that faith that Job passed down to his children. Job had everything that you could possibly want. But then one day, Satan appears before the Lord. And the Lord asks Satan what he has been doing. And Satan says he's been going throughout the world causing harm and trouble and temptation. And it's the Lord that points Satan to Job. He says, have you considered my servant Job? He is blameless and upright. There is no one like him. Satan challenges the Lord. He says, if you took away all of his sufferings, Job would surely curse your name. The Lord allowed it. And so in one day, Job lost all of his wealth, for all of his animals and his servants were either killed or taken captive. Job lost all 10 of his children, for the house they were staying in collapsed upon them. And yet Job does not curse the Lord. Instead, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. But this wasn't the end of Job's sufferings. Satan appears before the Lord again. And he says, if you allow me to harm him physically, then he will curse your name. The Lord allows it. And in one day, Job loses all of his health. He was covered with painful sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And yet he doesn't curse the Lord. Even when his own wife tells Job to curse the Lord so that he will die, Job rebukes her by saying, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And yet this still wasn't the end of Job's suffering. You would think that Job would have friends who would be there to comfort him, to be there by his side. But when Job's friends, if we can call them that, went to Job, they only pointed the finger at him and accused him of doing wrong, that he deserved this suffering. So Job is all alone. There is no one there to comfort him except one person, and that's the Lord himself. So on the one hand, we see Job as a believer who is clinging to the Lord, And yet on the other hand, we see Job almost doing the complete opposite in these verses. It doesn't seem like Job is willing to accept these sufferings. So how can that be? Remember, just because Job is a believer and he's clinging to the Lord, that does not mean that he is not suffering. He is bitter. He is angry. He is in agony. He is wondering why these sufferings have come upon him and why these sufferings won't go away. And we can sympathize with Job, can't we? We may not go through all of the sufferings that Job went through, but when we suffer, we too can become bitter and angry, wondering why these sufferings came and why they won't go away. So what Job says here, we can resonate with. Job says, does not man have hard service on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wages? So I have been allotted months of futility. Essentially, Job is saying that his entire life has been worthless. He compares his life to a slave or a hired worker. A slave or a hired worker has hard service throughout the day, but they have something to look forward to. A slave looks forward to the evening when he no longer has to work. A hired man looks forward to receiving his wages for the work he has done. But for Job, it seems like all of his life, everything that he has done for the Lord and his devotion to him has resulted in absolutely nothing. It seems like Job is only living to suffer. And Job can't even look forward to when it is night and to go to bed. For he says, nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss till dawn. Not even that little blessing of going to sleep and removing these sufferings from his life for a few hours, Job can't even have. He tosses and turns at night. And while lying in bed, he's just wondering, how long before I have to get up? And even waking up in the morning, Job doesn't even look forward to. For he says, my body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. We don't know what disease Job was suffering from. But we do know that it was incredibly painful for him. Just getting out of bed, walking around and doing various things was too excruciating for him. Even sitting down or lying down, he still felt pain. He's in so much pain that later on, Job is going to say, I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. And the concept of death, Job also touches on here. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. My eyes will never see happiness again. Please understand that Job is not suicidal. He does not desire to take his own life, but he does desire death itself. To Job, it seems like death is the only solution to all of his sufferings. And yet the days go on, and there he is, suffering. And so this is why Job is bitter. He is angry. He's in agony, and he's constantly wondering why these sufferings have come and why they won't go away. We can feel just like Job. Sometimes we can think that our lives have been for nothing. That all the good that we have done for the Lord, the dedication that we have shown to Him, has resulted in absolutely nothing. And it just seems like we're here just to suffer. We know what it's like to have restless nights when we toss and turn. We're wondering, how long is it going to be before I have to finally get out of bed? And maybe we've even prayed to the Lord that He would allow us just to sleep for a few hours. And when that doesn't happen, we become even angrier with God. Maybe because of a physical suffering and illness, you constantly feel pain. The idea of getting out of bed seems too painful for you. The idea of walking around, going to the store, coming to church, and doing various things is too excruciating for you. Even when you sit in your chair and lie down on a couch, you still feel pain. And so, like Job, we can desire death itself. We may think that we're never going to see happiness again in our lives, and we just want the Lord to take our lives because we are tired of suffering in this world and having all these hardships, and yet the days and the months and the years go by, and here we are, suffering. And then we hear these words from Paul, where he says, "We know then all things God works for the good of those who love Him." And instead of finding comfort in those words, we just become angrier with God. That we point the finger at Him and accuse Him of doing wrong because He allowed these sufferings to happen. Or we become filled with despair that since God doesn't seem to be doing any good for us, that must mean that He doesn't love us. And so Satan can so easily tempt us to say, "Why should I even follow God anymore? Why should I believe in Him? Why should I cling on to Him? Because of all the suffering that I have in my life." And so, like Job, on the one hand, we believe in God and we strive to cling on to Him. And yet on the other hand, because of our sufferings, we are bitter, angry, wondering why these sufferings have happened and why they don't go away. That's our cry to God. And so how does God answer a suffering believer's cry? Well, God does not give us each and every answer to each and every suffering that we have. But He does give various answers to our sufferings. And first of all, let us just marvel at that fact that God does answer us when we cry out to Him. God could and should punish us with eternal suffering and death because of how easily we can become angry with Him and we do not put our trust in Him as we should. But God is patient and kind with us. He is compassionate, and He forgives us our sins as far as the east is from the west. Therefore, let us marvel at God's grace that He will answer our cries when we go to Him. But it still makes us ask the question, why do we suffer? What is God's answer to all these sufferings? Well, one answer that God gives is that He uses these sufferings to turn us to Him. Even though Job is bitter and angry and in agony, he still directs his cry to God. For he says, "Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath." The only thing that Job could do was to turn to God. And when we suffer, the only thing that we can do is turn to God, to put our trust in Him and to cling on to Him. And as we turn to Him, God says that we are to endure hardship and suffering as discipline. God is not punishing us with sufferings. Rather, with sufferings, he is instructing us. Perhaps God could see in our hearts that we were beginning to drift away from him. And so God allowed sufferings to happen so that we would not drift away from him, but that we would drift toward him. Perhaps God could see in our hearts that we were becoming lazy in our faith. And so God brought sufferings so that we would turn to him and make our faith living and active. Maybe God has brought sufferings into our lives so that we will repent of some sin that we have been committing. This is the good that God does for us. But also understand that when we suffer, our sufferings may not just be for us. They may also be for the benefit of others. And we may not always see that. Job was never told why he had these sufferings in his life. The Lord never gave him that answer. Instead, when the Lord appeared to Job, he rebuked him, and Job repented of his sins. And Job never knew that this account of his life would be recorded in Scripture for us. When we deal with sufferings, we can look at Job and how he dealt with it, how he clung to the Lord, and that helps us. An even greater illustration is not Job, but Jesus Christ himself. Who were his sufferings for? When he was despised and hated, when the disciples deserted him, denied knowing him, and betrayed him, when Jesus heard the people shouting for him to be crucified, when nails were driven through his hands and feet, when a spear pierced his side, when a crown of thorns was placed on his head. All of these sufferings, who were they for? They were not for him. They were for us, so that he could take away all of our sins. And he rose from the dead so that he could bring us to himself. All of his sufferings were ultimately for others. And with our sufferings, they may be for the good of others as well. For as we suffer, this can be a great opportunity for us to let our light shine and to share our faith so that we may bring others to faith or to help other believers who are suffering. And one more answer that God gives to our cry as we suffer is that he promises that he will take sufferings away. God did that for Job. Later on, God greatly blessed Job once again. He even made Job richer than he was before. He gave Job 10 more children. He healed Job of his disease, and he lived for 140 years. And the ultimate greatest thing is that the Lord kept him true in faith. God does the same for you and for me. He has removed sufferings from our lives. And the sufferings that we have now, he will remove. And if he doesn't remove them here in this life, he will remove them in the life to come. For God will keep us true in the faith until the day he takes us to heaven. And there, the idea that our lives have been worthless and for nothing will be no more. For we will receive the full redemption of our souls. The idea of restless nights will be no more. For in heaven we will never become tired and we will find complete rest for our souls in Christ. The idea of physical pain and illness will be no more, for God will remove them. And the idea of desiring death itself to remove suffering will be no more. For in heaven there will be no mourning or crying or pain. God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and he will only give us eternal bliss and happiness. This is God's answer to a suffering believer's cry. And let us listen to the Lord Let us put our faith to him and cling to him, and let us do exactly what our closing hymn says. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.